Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is great to be with you this morning. We are joining in worship together. My name is Reverend Cora Glass, and I am a deacon in connection with this congregation. I come to join you all this morning to better know God, love God, and serve God together. Today, we are talking about living courageously and enjoying a time of the sacrament of baptism. If you are in our service today in person, we invite you to find the Connect card in your bulletin. To fill that out, let us know that you are here. You will see on that card some options to let us know what you might be interested in. And if you are worshiping online, please find that Connect card online to sign in and also let us know that you are worshiping with us. There are also prayer cards. These give you a chance to invite others into the things that are on your heart. If you have a prayer that you would like our ministry or our worship leaders to be in prayer for with you, please feel free to fill out that prayer card and put it in the offering basket as it comes by later in the worship service. I'm joined today with Reverend Lindsay Hall, who will be helping to lead us in a sacrament of baptism and offering our message. At this time, if you are a child or younger, and you want to go enjoy Sunday school or the nursery, those are available to you, and you can speak with one of the ushers at the doors to be directed to those locations. We have many things going on in the life of the church today, and I want to lift up a few. First, there is an opportunity to support our community through the Community Connect sock drive. We'll hear a little bit about this later in our service, but we are on a mission to collect 1,600 pairs of socks to distribute to Community Connect. You can join with our community to collect these socks and help those who are struggling to be connected to the services and goods that help them get through this tough winter. We also have a chance to join with the whole of the Michigan Conference to help plant seeds of hope in Haiti. The Michigan Conference voted in 2025 to engage in a statewide campaign to support work happening in Haiti, the sustainable agriculture, education, and healthcare initiatives. This is truly a cause that is in need of support. One of our clergy in our conference, Reverend Tiffany Newsom, is the chair of this partnership, and she is coming to Brighton on January 27th to join us for a dinner and share more about this program. If you can support this cause, it will provide vital resources that empower local farmers, educate children, and add to that healthcare access that is very needed. Together, we can build a bright future for Haitian families, fostering resilience and sustainable growth. Pastor John is the contact for this dinner, and we hope that you might RSVP, but all are welcome to join January 27th. And also today at noon, we have a great opportunity for our youth to share their voices about what they might want in a Sunday school class. There are youth grades 6 through 12, and their parents or guardians are invited to this listening session. It will be in the library at noon today, and their feedback your feedback on everything from the topics discussed, frequency, and goals for this Sunday school class are important to us as we dream about what this Sunday school class could look like. For our last announcement, I invite Julie and Dean to come forward to share with us about Disciple Bible Study.
Good morning, church. Hello, we're here to talk about Disciple Bible Study. This class is about the Old Testament. It's a 12-week class. It begins on January 27th and runs through February, 14th. it's from 6 to 7:30 p.m. and we'll be downstairs in room 125. This is our third Old Testament 12-week Bible study. Dean and I both attended the first one. It was very well done. We enjoyed learning about the Bible and hadn't read it before, so it was very good for us. And what I wanted to say is that now when I come to church and I hear the scripture, I know in the back of my head, oh, I know what was going on when this happened. And I can pull that forward into continuous learning.
Hello, everyone. I would just add, as a lifelong Methodist, but really a novice to the Bible, I would say it was a great experience to go through it and be in the small group, especially from the perspective of being able to share both what I was picking up from it and to hear the other ideas that are out there. So it's a great experience, a good opportunity for folks to get in and make that step into the faith journey. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, folks. Please join me in the opening prayer. Gracious God, you create us and love us. You make us to live together in a community. We thank you for Martin Luther King Jr. and all your children who have been filled with your vision for our lives and who have worked to bring your vision into reality. Fill us with your vision. Guide us to live by your vision, working to build the beloved community where everyone is welcomed, all are valued, power is shared, privilege is no more, and all your children know wholeness and well-being. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
It's a great joy at this time to welcome forward our baptism family. So we celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism this morning. Well, dear siblings in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit, and all of this is God's amazing gift given to us without a price. And today, we have the joy of celebrating two baptisms.
I present for baptism Vincent Joseph Progar and Henry Joseph Progar, son of Cassie and Vince Progar.
So we have some questions for you, Vince and Cassie, as we come today to celebrate this joyous moment in the life of your faith journeys. I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world, and do you repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, I do.
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you nurture Henry and Vince in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, I will.
I will.
In congregation, you are a part of this journey of faith. And so I ask you in this moment of remembering our own baptisms and remembering our own professions of faith in Jesus Christ, I ask you, church, the body of Christ, do you also reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
And your response? And live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Henry and Vince with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen. We remember our faith as contained in the Old and the New Testaments.
Do you believe in God the Father?
Believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, may the Lord be with you. We remember the sign and the symbol of water Oh, I've never come across this one before. We're missing our baptism bowl inside the font. That is hilarious. Okay. All right. But you have Loretta on it or Susan on it, and it takes a team. You know, I was mentioning to Reverend Cora, I said, I'm going to ask a question that's very obvious. Did you please put water in the pitcher that's on it? Yes, she did. But I will add this to my checklist to check that the bowl is there. You guys, I love this. This is just life. This is wonderful. Thank you, Susan. This is great. We remember the story of water playing in our life and our faith journey. We remember that when nothing existed but chaos, that you swept across the dark waters and you brought forth light. And in the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. And their children you brought through to the Jordan River, to the land that was promised. And then in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, who was nurtured in the water of a womb. And he was baptized by John. He was anointed by the Spirit. He called his disciples out on the water by the Sea of Galilee to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And so, Lord, may you pour out your Holy Spirit on and bless this gift of water to Vince and to Henry who will receive it. May it wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness, that through their lives at dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. Amen. Vince, I would invite you to come forward and kneel. You're quite tall and I'm quite short, so I'll invite you to kneel. Vince, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work with you in you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Henry, if you're up for me holding you, oh, I've been so excited to hold you all morning. This is Henry, a beautiful child of God. Would you like to gather around a little closer here? Henry, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to place a hand of blessing upon him. Henry, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What is with great joy? It is with great joy that we celebrate and we respond to God's blessings of this baptism for Henry and for Vince. Let us respond together.
Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ.
Oh, members of the household of God, I commend Vince and Henry into your love and your care. May you do all in your power to increase their faith, to confirm their hope, and to perfect them in love. Let us join together. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Oh, may the God of all grace, who has called you into eternal glory, may he establish you and strengthen you with the power of the Holy Spirit. May you live in God's grace and be surrounded by God's love. Oh, we celebrate today, and we have some amazing fabric artists in our congregation, and one they have knit together a sweet little blanket here for Henry, so you can remember your baptism day and wrap him in that and keep him warm, and a little certificate. And we are all about helping people grow in the faith and learning more about the stories and of the scriptures of Jesus and learning the stories. So Henry, we have a little Bible here, and it's fuzzy, and it's a board book, and you can chew on it, and you can just have a great time learning all about Jesus, and we celebrate and rejoice. Yay.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
We've got a couple of scripture readings today, so be prepared. The first one is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's pretty encouraging. The second verse is from Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you for reading our scripture stories. I love worship. I love gathering in songs of praise. I love having a chance to share the scripture stories and be able to share in the sacrament of baptism. It is so joyful. If you have been curious about exploring baptism and making a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I would love to visit with you after worship. And I'm sure Pastor Lynn would love to visit with you, as well as Pastor John. We celebrate and we rejoice. Henry and Vince joining us in the life of faith. And perhaps that's something next on your faith journey and what to God might be calling you to next as well. I would like to add to the scripture passages that Liz has shared with us. I have another story, another parable that Jesus told his disciples. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. We hear this from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Let's hear the gospel reading. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Well, what is written in the law?" Jesus said. "How do you read it?" He answered, the lawyer, he said, "Well, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus said. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So in reply, Jesus said, he shared this little story, this parable. He said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now a priest happened to be going down that same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn to take care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii, 2 coins, gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Well, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of a robber?" Jesus is asking. The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, giver of mercy and love and grace, we give you thanks for a time to worship and gather and praise your name. I give you thanks for church community, for new connections being made and old friendships to connect with. I give you thanks, God, that you call us to be your disciples and you love us along the journey and you call us to be a part of the work of loving and serving in this world. I pray, God, that the scriptures we've heard this morning, that they might speak to our heart, they might challenge us or encourage us to love you and neighbor more fully. And I pray, God, now that the words that I share, that the meditations of our hearts, it might be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our redeemer, and you, God, who call us your beautiful, beloved children, speak to me and through me. Amen. This past summer, I had an opportunity to gather with a couple of my college roommates. I don't know if you still get together with any of those lifelong friends from decades ago, but I had a chance to gather with my college roommates, and we gathered for a short little three-day weekend whatnot trip, and we were in Memphis, Tennessee. We had a chance to go visit the great Elvis Presley mansion and see all of that, and we also had a chance to go to the Lorraine Hotel there in Memphis. I have 3 pictures to show. So if you've been in Tennessee, if you go to the Lorraine Hotel, you'll approach it, and from the outside, you'll see that sign. It goes back to the 1950s, 60s look, and on the outside of the hotel there, it looks very much like a cute little hotel. Now, I mentioned the hotel. I think there's maybe one more picture. Perhaps I mentioned this hotel. You can see there's a couple of old cars out front, and it's a 2-story there. I mentioned the Lorraine Hotel, and perhaps you're remembering right away in history what this hotel is all about. But if it's not, and maybe I'll help you remember a little bit of the story. So tomorrow we're celebrating Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we remember the Lorraine Hotel. When I went to that, on the outside, you could see the balcony, and that was the location that when Dr. King was standing from it, he was assassinated. On the outside of this hotel, it looks like it takes you back in time. And just to the left, where it's not in view, is an entrance. And this is entering into a great civil rights museum there in Memphis. I'd encourage you and invite you to go. Navigating through the museum, it take you from 1619, from the first slaves that were brought over all the way through history, and it finally you navigate around through the museum and you have a chance to peek into the hotel room and look out on the balcony, and it takes you back through time just a little bit. Tomorrow, we're going to be celebrating and remembering this activist, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was an American Baptist minister. He was a great leader, of course, in the civil rights movement, and Dr. King was all about working for social change. Dr. King was the son of also a minister, a Baptist minister. When he grew up, he graduated from high school by only 15 years of age. He skipped a couple grade levels and went off to school, theology school. He also got his doctorate from Boston University. That's where he met his wife, Coretta Scott King. And they got married, and Dr. King's work really got started, and his name really began to get lifted up on a day that changed history. It started with a bus. December 1st, 1955, we can remember another woman. Her name was Rosa Parks. And if you were to go downtown to the Detroit, the museum, you could walk through the museum there and you would discover this beautiful bus in pristine condition. You would see this great bus. It's yellow, I believe, and green. And you could enter the doors of this bus and you can go to seat number 4 on the passenger side. And there you can remember where it was that Rosa Parks sat. Part of her story was that she was a seamstress and she was coming home from work. And when she entered the doors of the bus, she sat. And she sat in the section, of course, you remember the time in history where we divided things. My kids were asking what that word was, and I said, there's this word called segregation. And there was a period of time when if you were to ride the bus, if you were to be a part of public transportation, the bus was divided into the front of the bus was labeled for whites only, and in the back of the bus, they used the word then for colored only. And when Rosa went in after work to go ride the bus there in Montgomery, she sat down in the section for intended for white folks, and she didn't move when she was asked by the bus driver. We know the story that Rosa was then arrested, and then that sparked what we call the Montgomery bus boycott. It started in 1955. Some of you were around, and you remember turning on the news or hearing about it perhaps in the newspaper. And Dr. King took a great role in this work. We remember his work. We remember that Dr. King did something different. He studied the works of Gandhi, and he learned all about peaceful protests. He used these nonviolent methods. He wasn't about using fists, but he was about using his voice. He was about what some might call civil disobedience, and he was all about focusing on how do we make the kingdom of God more present here on earth. When I was having a conversation with my kids as we're talking about this, trying to understand and picture a time when buses were separated and swimming pools were separated and schools were separated, drinking fountains. Dr. King has this story. This is a story when he and his dad went into a store and the store was empty and they were asked to go to the back of the store because the front of the store was for white people. And his father and Dr. King, they walked out. He was a young child. He didn't want to be served there if there was going to be this moment of segregation. I was sharing with my kids, can you imagine that time in history when things were very much like that? And so as Dr. King grew up, he began to really work for social change. We know him for his work in the bus boycott, but then that wasn't enough. He began working on voting rights. He began working on fair pay for people. Maybe you remember the March on Washington in 63. I don't know if you were there or if you tuned in, but it was from the steps of where the Lincoln Memorial that he lifted his voice and he gave that special, that well-known, famous speech. Now, the day that Dr. King stepped up to share his message, he had a different talk in mind, apparently. But he pulled out a message. He pulled out a speech to share with the people from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, one that he'd given before a few months back. And he gave his special speech, the one we know about, I Have a Dream. And Dr. King worked from sitting on buses to marching to speaking out against these things that he would call, that we might all be able to call injustices. He wanted to make those changes. Dr. King had a friend when he was real little that was a white boy, but at one point in time, he was no longer allowed to play with that good friend. Dr. King was all about loving the neighbor and lifting up those that experienced oppression. There's a scripture, perhaps you've heard this one before. It goes like this: what's the Lord require of you? Well, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. Oh, to walk humbly with God. Micah 6:8 reminds us of that call to walk humbly with God. So in our sermon series, we're focusing on this call of what the United Methodist bishops have kind of added to our United Methodist mission statement. We're still called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But they're encouraging all United Methodists to step up and to love boldly and to serve, not just to serve, but to serve joyfully and to lead courageously. I think about the life and the work of Dr. King, and he definitely was this courageous leader. Rosa Parks, Dr. King, others, a part of the civil rights movement, they were these bold, courageous leaders. And I lift this up and I share a piece of his story, but the call to live and love and lead doesn't end. It hasn't ended. As United Methodists, we can look out into the world today and we can see the various needs of our community. Perhaps there are needs within your own family, within our own church, within our own community here at Brighton and Whitmore Lake, and a stone's throw away to South Lyon, and a stone's throw away to Howell and our neighboring community, and across the street and around the world. And we can see where there's places where people are struggling. We can see that there are places that perhaps we could raise a hand and say, perhaps I could help with that. There are places where we might be able to offer hope. United Methodists, it goes back to our great roots of John Wesley. Oh, Wesley would say, it's not enough just to worship and stay in the doors of the church, but we've got to get out of the walls of the parish and do something about it. John Wesley, from our roots of United Methodism, he was all about starting schools and starting little micro-business loans to help people in need and starting medical dispensaries. And John Wesley encouraged those early disciples or those followers of the Methodist movement to get out and to live their faith in the world. And so here we sit in the pew today, and perhaps we can identify or connect with some hurt in the world that we might be able to step forward and do something about it. Maybe there's a way for us to lead courageously. In the scripture passages that Liz read for us today, she was reading from Joshua 1:9, I command you to be strong, be courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. Get this, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Sometimes when we think about responding to the promptings of God to raise our hand and to say, I'll help, can make us feel a little like our knees are going to buckle underneath us, like we're a little nervous. But God is with us in this call to respond, to offer care and love and peace in this world. When we turn to the scripture, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we know that the Samaritan was one that was leading the way to change the world through love. Just an encounter with one person. That one person that got injured, the priest and the Levite, they passed by, they had other things going on that day, or they turned a blind eye. But that Samaritan stopped, didn't just say, maybe the next person behind me. But the Samaritan stopped and took a moment to love God, to love neighbor, and to make a difference. Of course, we know it's hard work. It's not easy stuff. But I think it's work that God calls us to. How might God be tapping you on the shoulder to think about loving more boldly or serving more joyfully, but how might God be tapping you on the shoulder to think about how you could lead more courageously? Maybe you could step up and say, yes, I'll join some of the great missions and ministries taking place here. Yes, I'm aware of a need in our community. And maybe I won't just participate, but maybe I will take on a leadership role. Maybe there are new creative ministries and outreach ideas that we could do to make our church congregation more accessible or know people can belong here and be a part of the community of faith. If you were to dream about how God's kingdom might come and be more fully present around us, what would that look like? And how can we then lead as United Methodists, as disciples of Jesus, to make that dream come true? Dr. King, he had four kids. He and his wife had four children. And he said, I dreamed that one day they would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. What are you dreaming for today? And how might you lead forth and make that more visible in the world? Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we can remember bold, courageous leaders from history, but there are so many bold, courageous leaders in our midst this day, within the congregation, in our own great state, around the world, across the country. Help us to take a note from their book, to step forward, to love our neighbor more fully, to serve God, and to raise our hand as God taps us on the shoulder. Help us to dream beautiful dreams and work towards making those things a reality. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Claire. That was absolutely fantastic, as usual. God is good.
All the time.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but when Lindsay was holding that baby, she was just sparkling. She was so excited to be holding a baby. I think we need to get a committee together and talk to John. Okay, she just told me how old she is. Do you remember how old Sarah was? The way I figure it, we still got 60 years to make her. But she was really sparkling up here. It was great. Now, before I go into the prayer, I want to talk to you about this adult discipleship class, the one about the Old Testament. If you've ever wondered about the Old Testament, and I was scared of the Old Testament for a long time, but there are some really, really cool stories in there. I helped lead the second class. Loretta did the first one, and I helped Pam Cumber lead the second class. And I just enjoyed it so much that I am going to help Reverend Bates do her class starting at the end of January. If you want to have a really cool experience, I ask you to join us because you will get a lot out of it. I know I did, and it's changed my life, and it's changed my outlook. I am no longer scared of the Old Testament. I enjoy the Old Testament. The stories in there are fantastic. Now, back to work. We have two prayer quilts today. The prayer quilts are from Mike Loy and Lorraine Kane Pillow. On your way out of the church, please stop, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let them know that we're praying for them and that we're thinking about them and wrapping them in the warmth of our prayers, the quilt, and God's love. Now join me in an attitude of prayer. Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. We pray for our quilt recipients, Mike and Lorraine, and pray that they have the strength they need to get through the tough times they are going through. Let these quilts surround them with the warmth of the quilt, the prayers of the people, and the knowledge of your love. We thank you for the blessing that you have given us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. We want to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't know yet that they don't know that they need you. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. That you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes, and all the natural disasters. Relieve the needs of those who endure famine and war. Establish peace in our world. Cause anger and hostility to give way to reconciliation. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. Guide us as we continue to build and improve our church, creating a warm and welcoming place for worship, learning, and helping those in need in our communities as well as throughout the world. With your help, we strive to make this a safe and comfortable place for all to worship. In times of need and question, the disciples went to Jesus for strength and guidance. Help us remember that Jesus is there for us as well, leading us, guiding us, and helping us to make the right choices for us
as well as the right choices for our friends and neighbors. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions, as well as our praises of you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't forget, God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. And keep it in mind, Lindsay. Talk about leading courageously. Woof. Amen.
At this time, we invite our ushers to come forward for our offering time. And we're also welcoming Tara Ruiz to give us a mission moment.
Good morning. My name is Tara Ruiz, and I'm here to talk to you about this year's sack drive. For those of you who don't know, every year Community Connect is hosted at 242. This event helps others in our community by providing free giveaways and services. Last year was the first year that I took over this, and it was like super, super awesome to see all these people come together to help provide for our community. I saw items like diapers and wipes, laundry detergent, Bibles were passed out. Services like free haircuts, which is super amazing, insurance help, medical help. We're all part of this rotation. Where our church comes into this, we help provide socks for others. Living in Michigan, we all know how important socks are, especially this time of year. We're looking to collect 1,600 pairs of new socks for men, women, and youth. It sounds like a lot, but last year we actually ran out of men's socks, and we only had a handful of women's socks left. I feel like our church is amazing for so many reasons, but serving our community is something that we do, and we do it joyfully. This event is quickly approaching. We need socks to be turned in by February 1st, which is only 2 weeks away. This will allow time to help sort the socks, organize them accordingly in time for the event. So if we can come together, kindly find it in our hearts and do what we do best, serve joyfully. Your donations will help others significantly and will be extremely appreciated. So thank you for your time and your support.
God, in times of confusion and pain, we lift our prayers to you. Help us to lead others in the path of love that you have shown us. Bless these offerings we bring today and use them to stand up for the way of Jesus in this world. Amen.
Church, I hope you'll take a moment to tie a knot and pray for those receiving the prayer quilt. And I also hope you'll go out into the community room and enjoy some wonderful refreshments and coffee. And hopefully you're going to find somebody that you haven't met before. I'd love for you to be brave and bold and introduce yourself and make another connection today. Oh, church, may you go forth with the love of God in your heart, the peace of Jesus with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit filling you and helping you to go forth this day to love God and neighbor, and in doing so, you are leading courageously. Go forth with God's blessing. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.